Well, this morning, I'm supposed to talk about wisdom. And this is very challenging because my wife is sitting right there. And Friday, we celebrated our 39th anniversary, so me talking about wisdom is at least an effort here, and it's open to some review. And sitting next to my wife is my mother. And next to her is my dad. And next to her is my brother. My brother with whom I have done great and amazing things. One of the things that we did is that my folks would send us out to sell greeting cards, and we would stand on front porches, and I would knock on the door and I'd say, "My name is Eddie Sharp and this is my brother Mark, and would you like to buy some greeting cards?" And he was in my brother Mark. And I've told you the stories about how when we would take out little flyers for meetings and vacation Bible schools, that we would not go in the yards that had dogs. We figured they probably weren't wanting to go to heaven anyway. So anyway, and then my sister-in-law. So down this row are people who could stand up and tell things about me that would indicate that I am not always wise. I bear some marks even on my body that I am not always wise. Right there's a scar about that. I hit myself in the head one time with a physical training device, spring-loaded, and it hit me right in the head. I've not always been wise. I have not always been wise. So when you hear me talk about wisdom, you probably ought to take that with a grain of salt. But near as I can tell, the only people that God has who can talk about wisdom are people who are, at least at some level, somewhat foolish. So, as a gathering of people who are somewhat foolish, we're going to talk a little bit about wisdom this morning. Maybe you grew up in a church environment, and if you did, when you were a little boy or girl, you heard about Solomon, and that when Solomon got to pray for riches and power and wisdom, he chose to pray for wisdom. And maybe when you were a little guy, you thought that he should have prayed for power. Or maybe he should have prayed for riches. But the teacher said God was so proud of him for praying for wisdom that he gave him power and riches. And so the message for us in that Bible class was, now you should do the same thing. Pray for wisdom. And then you read on down that he had all these wives and all these concubines, and you began to wonder about the very definition of wisdom in the life of Solomon. He seemed to be pretty good about the folks out there, but not very capable about the stuff in here. Wisdom. And then, as your Bible study went on, maybe you heard about Jesus as a child. There in chapter 2 in Luke, in verse 40, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom. And in chapter 2, verse 52, just verses later, it says again that as he grew from age 12 on, that he was growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You remember that. And the call was to wisdom. And people would have definitions of wisdom. So what is wisdom? And how does wisdom differ from knowledge? And sometimes when we were growing up, there would be people who would be somewhat suspicious of book learning. And they would say things like, I knew a fellow who had lots of book learning, but he didn't know anything. Perhaps somebody in Congress. Lots of education, but no wisdom. And it was presented that one of the most wasteful things in the world would be to be very, very educated, but not have wisdom. And we come down to these days where we are, and we have all kinds of data. We do not lack for information. We have information in piles. We have ways of managing it, ways of sorting it, ways of passing it from one place to the other. We are not limited in any way on knowledge and information. You can even Google the word information. But our problem is that we sense a certain lack of wisdom. And so in that light, in the light of our own personal foolishness, in the light of all of the ways in which we are intended to grow in wisdom and may find our ways getting lost in that process, in the way that we see our world proliferating knowledge but lacking wisdom, in that same way we see all of that, we come back to our life as Christians and our life in the body of the church, and we proclaim that wisdom is a virtue that comes to us from God for the sake of our own lives and for the blessing of those around us and for the continuation of the work of the kingdom of God in the world. That it is by the functional wisdom in the life of men and women of God that the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. That we need wisdom. Let me talk about that a little bit. And I'm going to just drop into three shoots here that don't exhaust the study of wisdom at all, but at least get us to a place or two. The first thing, I want us to hear what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about what a great grace we have received in God. And that that God has poured out now in Christ marvelous blessings. Verse 7 in chapter 1. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Christ. But now God has been acting out of wisdom. The wisdom of God has brought Christ to us. But then Paul goes on to say in chapter 1 in Ephesians, verse 17, in his prayers, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which He's called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. I love that. I'm asking God that He will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know God better. Think of that. That the first place that wisdom stops in us is the wisdom that allows us to know God Himself. We are a lot about doing. And we're going to get to some doing here in a little bit in the pursuit of wisdom and in the engagement of wisdom in our life. We're going to get to some doing. But before we can be human doings, we've got to be human beings. And before we can become human beings, we have to be able to behold the God who made us. We have to behold the God who made us and value the God who made us and see ourselves in the light of the God who made us. And so Paul says, I'm praying that you will have the wisdom that it requires to know God. There is great energy put forth in the world that says there is no God. But from the language of Scripture, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is the polar opposite of the one who is wise. Paul prays that we would have the wisdom to know God. That we would be at the other end of the spectrum from those who are the fool who says there is no God. So it's no God at this end, and it's kano God at this end. I think we choose this morning, most of us in this room, by the fact that we are here, that we are choosing to say that we believe that there is a God who creates all things, that there is a God who loves and sustains the world that we see, that there's a God who has called people to Himself from the very first moment of creation. We see ourselves in a God story. The fancy language is that we see ourselves in the meta-narrative of God in the world. That all other stories fit into the great story of God who is, who loves, who sustains, who promises, who comes, who redeems, and who comes again. This is the great story of God, and it is wisdom to find ourselves under that story. It is wisdom to find ourselves in that story. So Paul prays for that, and we ought to pray for that too. That the Spirit Himself would come to our heart and lay that wisdom down in us, even the way God laid wisdom down at the creation of the world in Proverbs chapter 8. Well, if that beingness of us, and we find ourselves as beings in the presence of God, as that comes to us, then life is coming at us. Life is coming at us, and as Brother Sam read just a while ago in James chapter 1, when life comes at you, you have to figure out what you're going to do with it. And I hope you were able to turn to James, even as I'm doing now. And you hear James, the brother of the Lord, the Jesus who was growing up in Nazareth, growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, that he says to his Christian brothers and sisters, there ought to be something about you that can put into the category of joy the times when you face all kinds of trials. Because the testing of your faith, the trials that come, make something in you that is called perseverance. And perseverance, when it comes to you, it makes something in you that is called maturity and completion. And if you are in need of the ability to put the trials of your life into perspective, then you ought to pray for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, and He gives it generously. What's the context of that prayer for wisdom? That prayer for wisdom is not so you'll know God better. That prayer for wisdom, bring that little baby back in here. You betcha. Yeah. And there may be some folks who would want to take it out the next time because, you know, people get tired of listening. And if you'd like to be the next one, just come and sit right here. We just want you to know how much we appreciate. Now listen, I'm taking a little sidebar here, but I just want you to know how much we appreciate little babies. Okay? There are people here who've got babies that are just born and they bring them to church and babies wiggle and they cry and they do all kinds of things. I just want you to know they're welcome to do that here. Because we've got older people who do the same thing. And nobody takes them out. Well, life comes at you. And your things are coming at you, these various trials, and how do you deal with them? He says, I'm not going to pray that you'll know God. Now I'm going to pray that you will know what to do with life as it comes at you. It requires wisdom to be able to handle life as it comes at you and to know what boxes to put it in. To be able to say, this is coming at me, and if I handle this correctly, I'm going to end up closer to God. This is not fun. This is not fun. But if I handle this correctly, I'm going to end up with greater patience, greater character, and I'm going to end up closer to God. Years ago, Annette and I would work at Opportunity Camp. I would get to go, she and I would work on it. Sometimes we'd both get to do it, sometimes not. But at Opportunity Camp, kids from the community would get to go who's had some difficulty in their life. And what we had found in working with these kids is one of the things that they don't have a sense of is consequences. They had the idea about doing stuff, but they didn't understand that when you do something, sometimes doing something makes something else happen. And so we created a curriculum called And Then. So that they would know that there was a certain and then-ness to life. If you do this, and then something else happens. If you throw a ball in the air, and it hits a window, and then it breaks. And then you're going to meet the person that's in that house. And then they're going to take you to see your mama. And then you're going to have to get all the money out of your piggy bank to fix that. And then. And it is important for little children to learn the and then-ness of life. But James says that it requires really the wisdom that comes from on high to have a sense of the and then-ness of Christian trial and circumstance. I lost this in my life, and then I met these people, and then. I bet if you come next Saturday and you hear Mark Buehler talk about his life, you're going to hear some and then in his life. This happened, and then this happened, and it's in the and then-ness, and it's in trusting that God is at work. It's trusting that we find wisdom. And most of us in this room, I know for me personally, there are times when life comes at you with sets of circumstances and you just want to run and you want to avoid it and you want to blame and you want to do all kinds of things. And it's time to pray for wisdom to know how to put all of those circumstances in the right box. So that trial can work to perseverance and perseverance can work to maturity. The third thing that I feel like we ought to talk about this morning about wisdom has to do with what we read in James chapter 3. That wisdom not only helps you with what's coming at you, but wisdom helps you with what's coming out of you. What's coming out of you? My dad used to tell me, I've told you this before, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. It's encouragement like that made me want to preach a lot. But what if it is that as long as you don't do anything, your foolishness may remain a secret? But it's when you act that suddenly people decide, this may be a fool. This may be a foolish person. Maybe. And so you have this language out of James chapter 3 that there is a wisdom that comes from below. The wisdom that's the world's wisdom. The wisdom that says ambition and rapacious aggression is where it's at. That this is the wisdom where you look out for yourself and you are into self-interest. And this is what the wisdom that comes from beneath is about. And it breeds all kinds of discord. It breeds all kinds of unrest. It is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. But then he says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. The wisdom that comes from above turns us into the kind of person that actually sets free and puts into motion all of the other virtues of the Christian life. It's wisdom that says, it's time to let loose the love in my life, the joy in my life, the goodness, the kindness, the mercy. It's time to let the faithfulness of my heart run free in this world. Wisdom. Wisdom turns the faucets of our Christian soul on and lets our Christian soul just splash into the lives of other people. In Acts chapter 6, when they were looking for the people who would feed the widows, he said, look out from among you seven men who are full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. To do what? To pass out bread. To do what? To hear widow ladies complain. It'll take a certain amount of grace to do that. To do what? To get along with others. To get along with the people who are preparing the meals in the first place. It's going to take some Holy Spirit wisdom to do the work of God in the world. And so this morning, what would we pray for? We pray for wisdom. Oh Father, send down wisdom so that we may know You more and more. And Father, send wisdom into our lives so that we will be able to take the circumstances of our lives and see the ways in which You are turning them toward Your glory. And Father, send down Your wisdom, the heavenly wisdom, the Spirit-driven, Spirit-inspired wisdom that will make us able to become gifts and benefits and resources to the church, to our families, and to the world around us, so that people can see in us that the kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, receive our prayer in the name of Jesus for wisdom in all of these ways. This morning, if you would come to Jesus remembering that the wise man builds his house upon the rock, the wise woman builds her house upon the rock, and the foolish ones build on the sand, and that the rock is Jesus Christ Himself, you might come to Jesus as we stand and sing.